Okay, so I'd like to welcome everyone to the meeting. Hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. Proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. Members should remember that the microphones work as a queuing system. If your microphone is lit red, you have precedence. Flashing green is next in the queue, and then solid green. Please do not press your microphone button again when it is lit up red, as you will lose your place in the queue. And members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Okay, so we'll go on to item number one. So apologies.
Chair, we have apologies from Councillors Finn and Young.
Okay. And then item two, declarations of interest. Anybody? Okay. And then moving on to the action sheet. So there's pages one and two and three. If there's any comments, I'll take a proposer and a seconder. Councillor Devlin, go ahead.
Yeah, Chair, I'm more than happy to pose for accuracy, that they're accurate as such, and I've just got a question if that's possible. I know there's an item there regarding leisure closure arrangements. I'm wondering through you, Chair, can I maybe request an update, Andy, in terms of Cochill and how things are moving on in terms of swimming pool there? I know that item's linked to leisure closure arrangements, closure in general, but would that be possible at this point in the agenda? Maybe that's up and on down.
Through the Chair, we can provide more detail to the member on that with regards Kilkeel, but certainly Bourne's councillors will be aware that the centre was closed over the weekend there for essential maintenance. We don't expect that to be for a long duration, so we can provide an update on that probably tomorrow morning again in terms of timeline for reopening the pool.
Thanks for coming in. We're keen to see what happens as soon as possible. I appreciate that. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Andy.
Councillor Hill.
Thank you, Chair. It was just in relation to the attendance matters, the Department of Education. Councillor Finn, I think, had requested that we be sent over the RAISE presentation. And it was sent across to us, a very informative read. Disappointing probably that we didn't have that presentation on the night, to be fair, because it was very comprehensive. But also concerning that it excludes a large part of our district. Now, I know it was touched on, but I think... Could I put in a request that they maybe write to the Department of Education for them to clarify why, I know they talk about funding in certain areas, whatever, but why there's a large part of the district excluded from that programme? Because I think it really would be beneficial, if more areas within the district would be able to have a look and see if they could fall into that.
Through the Chair, certainly we can feedback those comments. The Department understand that there are locations within the district that are included as part of the pilot on the programme. And that may be rolled out further, but we could defer to the department on that.
That'd be much appreciated. Thank you.
Yeah, the closer to And then we'll move on to item number four, which is Playboard NI, and we have Alan.
Yep.
Alan Heron here to take us through that.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I think all it's nice to be. Okay, that should be me now. It's great to be here this evening, and it's good to be face to face with you. I think quite a few of you have probably been in various Zoom sessions over the past 6 to 9 months with me regarding the development of the assessment of the pre-existing strategy. So it's good to be here tonight just to really, I suppose, present you with the final point of where we have reached in terms of the play strategy both the impact review in terms of the previous five-year strategy, but also the assessment of need and the capital programme that's emerging as a result of the most recent piece of work. It's not, doesn't seem to be a move.
It's working.
It seems to be working now. Thank you for that. Yep. So as I say, I'll very briefly touch on the strategy review process. And that's really just to, again, just to sort of highlight the journey we have been on. I want to touch on the impact overview because, again, I think it's important for council to recognise the journey you have been on. You know, when I think back to 2016, 2017, when certainly I started to engage with council, you've made some significant investments in play, and as a direct result, we are seeing some significant improvement of play as well. So I think it's important just to recognise that. And then, as I say, I want to just look into the future planning side of things. So to look at the overarching capital recommendations coming out of the most recent piece of work, to run over the capital programme in terms of there's a four-year programme envisaged for the next stage of the play strategy, then a few broader recommendations just coming out of that. So non-capital based. But again, there are things which I suppose have consistently come up when we have reviewed the where you are as a council in terms of play. And this clicker has stopped again. just flick on manually and then I'll... Bring back Zoom, that's all I can say. Okay, folks, so in terms of the process we have been on to date, really a number of key stages within it. So the Capital Play Park audit, so the starting point for all of this was the play value assessments. So a number of years ago in 2016, 2017, Council adopted a play value approach to assessing the relevance and the impact of the play parks within the district itself. So as part of this process, Play Services Ireland, who are the company who would carry out the maintenance inspections for council, carried out play value inspections. And it's really the scores which come through the play value inspections are really what we use in terms of determining where the primary areas of need are. Once we have the play value assessment data together, we then carried out a GIS analysis. So the purpose of that was really to again, map out the changes at a population level, to map out the changes in a household on a demographic level within council. So obviously, the previous strategy was based on the 2011 census. So when we sort of started it in 2016, figures were already maybe getting a wee bit out of date. The review process has allowed us to then look at the 2021 census data. So we now have a fairly up-to-date and a fairly clear overview of where the primary levels of demand are in terms of play itself. Once we had all of that completed, then we carried out a number of sessions with at the DAA level. So again, really the purpose of that was to drill down into those figures, to look at where the gaps were in terms of the capital play delivery, but also to look at the play value scores. And again, to begin the process of really drawing together that capital investment program for council. And then I suppose culminating tonight where we're presenting to yourselves in terms of where we have got to and what that program potentially looks like. I've mentioned the importance of sort of reflecting on the journey you've been on. So back in 2017, Council signed off on a fairly ambitious strategy, I think it's fair to say. I'm just chatting to Andy before in terms of, you know, we're nearly more in down. We're probably to the forefront in terms of councils and recognising the importance of play and recognising the need to really embed play value at the core of the process. Some of your colleagues at local government level are really only catching up now, I would say. I think the benefits of that are now being seen. You know, when we looked at the impact of the strategy, so the five-year strategy, you know, what we're seeing is a 23% increase in the high play value category. So that's the what we would call the gold star, I suppose, in terms of the standard of play parks. And that's in relation to the play value, it's in relation to the range of equipment, the condition, the level and the amount of actual impact the play experiences will have at a developmental level. We're then seeing that reduction in low player value from 41 to 30%. So you're beginning to chip away at those, the lower play parks. Now, any play park in that lower category, we would sort of argue, really has very little developmental benefit in terms of the play it's offering. So we are seeing that decline, and we're seeing a reduction in the mid-value. I think the next 4 years we'll probably see the high-value play category increase up into the 70% mark. So again, reflecting back on 2016, I think there was a recognition at that stage that there was a journey to be had here. At that stage, we were envisaging a 10 to 15-year journey, really to get the capital play estate up to the standard we wanted to get to. And I think you're well on course for that at this moment in time. A couple of maps in here, and it really just, you won't be able to see the detail. The colour-coded maps is really just to give you a sense of the journey we have been on, in terms of the state back in 2017, where you do have an increased number of the red categories. So those are the low-level play value play parks, the ones which really were not delivering. If we move to the next slide then, in terms of the current, you will see at a local level, you will see a change. A lot of those reds moving to green, where council have invested in new play parks, or where they have invested in upgrades as well. So that journey, hopefully that pattern will continue over the next 4 years as well. So in terms of the overarching capital recommendations, and I think, again, reflecting back on the 2016-2017 period, there was a sizable amount of work to be done back then in terms of moving that low-value estate up to high-value. We're now sort of seeing the benefits of that, and that, yes, there's still a piece of work to be done, but it's certainly not as extensive as that stage. So we've identified 14 sites for capital upgrade. So those are sites which are currently within the low category, predominantly a few low medium categories within that. So there's sites which really are at that stage where they need to be upgraded. We need to see new play equipment going in. One site we've identified for the addition of inclusive play equipment. So play value-wise, it's fine. It's delivering what you need, but there is a local demand in terms of inclusive play. So there's a recommendation in there to go in and to increase that inclusive play value of it. We've two consolidations within it. So a consolidation is really where you have two play parks within close proximity of each other, really. Most likely within the low play value category, where from a council perspective, the most sensible option investment-wise is to consolidate into one site. So you will move from two low play value to one high play value site over time. And then we have transformations. So transformations typically are those play parks which, again, are low play value. They're located generally in areas where you have a very low population of children and young people. So it doesn't make sense from a capital investment perspective to upgrade, but the proposal would be to transform those sites. So and the aim of that would be to retain them for leisure and recreation purposes. Play park would not necessarily be upgraded within them. There may be play elements developed as part of a broader recreational space. So in other words, the green space would remain. You may have one or two pieces of play equipment go in, but it's more about creating a more rounded recreational experience for the community who live there. And we have two identified then for closure. And again, we'll roll through each year of the capital program and we'll see where each of those sites are. And so in terms of the year one capital program, so we have five capital upgrades identified within that. All, again, in reviewing the capital program, we've tried to prioritise these in the basis of both looking at the level of play value but also the households. So there's a fine balance in trying to come up with a timetable that's going to meet needs. So you'll see there you have Granite View, Seaview, Conway Park, and Scrog Road, and Balik, all within the Year One Capital Programme. All capital upgrades, all low play value. You see Granite View 65 there. It's probably one of the lowest you have now in terms of play value. You have two further ones there. So you have Hillfoot Junior. So as part of the previous strategy, Hillfoot Senior was upgraded. Hillfoot Junior is still there. It's of low play value, and the decision has been to remove it. The upgraded site now fulfills all of the play value needs. And then Spring Hill Drive, which is in Newry, the site itself is owned by the Housing Executive, and that site will then be handed back basically to the Housing Executive as part of the programme itself. Year two then, so we have three capital upgrades within it, Derry Beg, Bishop's Court, and Ardross. White Cross is the one identified for the addition of inclusive play equipment. So you can see it's scoring at 106 there. So it's within that higher play value category. Site itself is fine in terms of what it's delivering, but it needs that bit of enhancement. And then Bridge Street in Downpatrick is down as a transformation. And again, that's largely because The radial coverage district distance emanating from that site falls within a number of other higher play value sites. So again, it makes sense at this stage, rather than duplicate your provision, to transform that site into a broader recreational space. Year three then. So year three, we have, again, three capital upgrades within it. We have Island Park, Lismore and Rathview. Again, you see these are all still within that low play value. So low play value for Newry-Moore and Down, but essentially the 87.5 and below. So again, we are still dealing, I think, with the legacy of a lot of these would be the older sites across the district, which maybe previously were within the medium category and have moved down into the low player value. So those three identified for capital upgrade in year three. Bancroft's transformation within Mourne's, and we then have a consolidation within Newry. So it's Emmett Street and Mourne Park, which I think was identified in the original strategy, but has moved into this phase of delivery for consolidation onto one site. And the final year then, so we originally had a 5-year program. We have tried to squeeze this into 4 years, really because we felt that, I think, given council's experience within play park development, I think you're more than capable of delivering this over that 4 years, and that will then bring you that bit further in terms of the journey you're on. So again, three capital upgrades within that, Peter McParland Park, Gabrini Road, Drummer Road, transformation, Pius Hill and Mourne's, and then down Patrick, you have a further consolidation, so Model Farm and St. Dimples. Both again low scoring sites in terms of player value. Maintenance wise, again, they would be at the lower end of the scale, but proximity wise quite close to each other. So again, it makes sense from a council perspective to invest within that one consolidated site. I should say, in terms of all of these upgrades, again, council were very very proactive at the beginning in terms of asking and ensuring that there were consultative mechanisms based around all upgrades, consolidations, and so on. So again, that process will be embedded within each of these. And final one then, so a few broader recommendations coming out from the review itself. So you have there's a couple of community-owned play parks out there. So these are parks which were developed by the local community. Quite often they have either fundraised or they have secured funding from an external funder. Within these parks, again, they are delivering in terms of meeting play need within council. The owners, the community owners themselves, have asked for some support in terms of annual maintenance inspections and audits. And that's really just to help them with that aspect of it, which can be quite an onerous element of managing a play park. So again, there's a recommendation that council step in and try to provide support for those. And again, the rationale is simple, that those play parks are providing, they're meeting a need that you would probably otherwise be expected to meet within that area. Planning-wise, again, this is consistent across all councils in Northern Ireland, to be honest with you. I mean, there are areas within the district where we're seeing quite significant residential growth. We're seeing household development. We're seeing new private developments. That is going to place further demand on council. We know what happens. Generally speaking, private developers will go in, they'll develop the housing estate, and once people move in, they will immediately come to council and say, we need a play park. Under the planning legislation, it should really be, the onus should be on the person developing the households to make sure that there is recreational space provided as part of that. That may be green space, or it may be in some larger estates an actual play park itself. So again, that focus on planning, just making sure as a council that you're holding developers to account when they are developing these, particularly these larger scale household estates. And community play, again, one of the areas I think Newry-Moore and Down Council were quite proactive in was saying, yes, capital play is one element, but we also recognise that we're never going to be in a position where we have play parks in every community. So you developed quite a cohesive community play programme which ran over between 2017 and 2022. It was what we would call free play. It was pop-up play within communities. So again, we would say that you had just over 3,000 children who engaged within those programmes. So again, we would sort of argue that council should continue to look at how you can expand and roll that out. And again, just to emphasise, I think Newry-Moore and Down have been at the forefront in developing some of those non-fixed approaches to play itself. So that really brings us to where we are in terms of the play strategy itself. I think the key thing is you've been on a journey. You certainly have made significant progress. I think this phase of the strategy will move you to that next point. And I think at that stage, we'll move into what we would call the maintenance phase. So effectively, you will have a capital play estate, which will be operating at a high enough play value level where you hopefully will see a decline in the number of upgrades and then the amount of actual capital investment you need to put into parks. You'll be moving into a cyclical cycle of maintenance and renewal after 10 to 15 years.
Thanks very much for that. Very informative. I haven't been part of any of those discussions for a long time, so I haven't. But it's good to hear that there's progress being made. But we're happy to take any sort of comments or questions from anybody on the floor. So, Councillor McGuinness.
Yeah, thanks. Just with regards year one of your recommendation for an upgrade, a capital upgrade, have you any timescale of when those would be likely to start, or has the council been asked to move that along any quicker or anything?
Again, I mean, I suppose Andy would be able to speak to that in terms of where you are within your programme. I suppose from our perspective, it would be, you know, as soon as you're able to progress those, it gets you into that four-year cycle quicker. So, you know, that would be sort of our perspective as an external to the process.
Through the chair, we have approval on the strategy. Bringing it to finance as soon as possible.
Hi, Sir Devlin.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Thank you so much for that. I think it's just great to see that all on paper and a lot of work has gone into it. And definitely from the council years ago, seeing it all being so data-driven, it makes it easier for ourselves to see where things are being prioritised. And obviously, I look at the Mourns and Newcastle in particular with being so prominent there down the road in the promenade. I mean, that investment there has just been completely phenomenal. You know, I'm up and down there very, very regularly. I'm yet to see Everett not being packed as opposed to not even being not partially used. You know, sort of really, really, really good investment. Definitely in terms of Islands Park, that's brilliant to see. I mean, there's been so much public investment between the flood scheme and by council there. That's still a play park that has so much potential given all the properties that we have around it. But again, that's all data driven and all mapped out there. I have just one question regarding, I think you've touched upon it there, the sort of written down before I came here, Ben Crum and Pius Hill in terms of the transformation, the community element. Just remind or go through that again. So you would be taking out sort of whatever old play equipment is there and putting in just something for, is it older, maybe not children, or maybe older residents? Or what way would that space be transformed as such?
The aim is really to, take that space and hopefully put it back into a use which is going to be of more benefit to the population who are there. So generally how this operates is, again, it's all done with the consultation with the local community. And it's very much around trying to create a space that will meet the needs of older residents within the area. And again, acknowledging that for many older residents, there are still play needs, there's still play demands in terms of grandchildren and visitors and so on. But again, looking at how that space can incorporate playful elements. So, you know, for example, there have been transformations where you will have a basket swing, so you will have some play equipment potentially within them, but you will have a greater focus on the recreational space that can be used by the wider community as well. But I suppose the key thing is that any sort of transformations would be driven by local community voice within the area itself.
Great to hear. I think definitely in terms of also Scrog Road being year one, we know itself that there's been one that's been massively in need. I suppose just one last comment in terms of the condition and planning applications. I mean, that's been something that we've talked about even since the very first planning committee back in 2014-15 was formed, and it's something that we need to see happening. But it hasn't happened to date, and I'm wondering, looking over at the chair of the planning committee here, but I'm just wondering in terms of, we have that vehicle to do that now, isn't that correct? But it just hasn't yet happened by planners internally, because that's definitely the way to go. Like, I think in terms of Burn Meadow and Newcastle, for example, there was 141 houses built there back in 2012-13, but no play facilities whatsoever, and that added, you know, major issues that we had right throughout the town. So, you know, that's something I want to see happening more, but I'm not sure if it's actually happening yet or what the delay is. You, Declan, not blaming you, Declan, but I'm wondering, I mean, through you, Chair, is that, Andy, is that something that has been happening so far, or is it?
Certainly, with the approval of this strategy, we can engage with our colleagues and the planning committee. how that's defined in terms of recreation space, if it's just open space or if it has to be pure.
I do recall way back at the start, there was a lot of linkage we did with Fife Council back when the councils were amalgamated. There was a lot of focus on planning and condition applications. That was very much something that was done over there and was working very, very well. So I think that was something that would be key to be important to see happen here. But Alan, thank you for all your work. I appreciate that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. No, it's great to see the Mourns being awarded three capital upgrades. So it is, and especially in year one, Scrog Road, a play park that was truly at the heart of our late colleague Sean Dorn, who tried so hard in getting it across the line, but unfortunately it had missed out. So it's great to see that area being awarded this time round. In regards to Pius Hill in Longstone, I know it's disappointing to see that again they have fallen short of meeting the criteria. I suppose my concern there is back in 2017, the community sort of declined the transformation element, which was recommended then. So I think it's really important that we try and sort of bring them on board. Obviously, it's not the outcome that the residents would want for the area, but I think it's definitely important that we take them along and weigh up the benefits. And not to say that it can't be revisited again in the next stage. And can I just ask, in relation to new play parks that possibly have missed out by like a single number of houses, Addie Call, I believe it missed out by a low number of houses, that if external funding could be secured, could they be considered for a new park at a later date? And that's really all, but just to thank everybody that's been working tirelessly on it and to have it this far, so thank you.
I suppose from my perspective, in terms of those that have just missed out, I think the going back to the very beginning of the process in 2017, there was an acknowledgement that in some areas, particularly more rural locations, it will be very difficult for areas and communities to actually meet the requirements within the strategy. So it was built in that if a community was able to secure funding through an alternative route, that council would support that, that council would do their best to sort of facilitate that process. So that is an avenue that certainly would remain open. And I think the recommendation around that kind of, a better term, independently owned play park falling under the maintenance and the inspection routine for council, I think that would support communities who wanted to progress down that route. I take on board completely in terms of the transformation. The difficulty in some of these areas is that the populations are not. And Newry Mourne Down did, I have to say, you pushed the levels to try to get as many communities and areas in as you could. I think you're right. We need to maybe work more closely with communities in those areas to really try to genuinely transform those spaces into something that will be of community benefit to them. And so I would agree entirely.
Councillor Lee Searcher.
Yeah, thank you. Start off with no questions and up with two questions. One of them was in relation to Hillcrete Junior. So based on your presentation, it'll be removed. So what is the process like? Will you be then in contact with, say, the Ballinhedge Community Collective to determine how that space will be utilised in the future then to make it safe for residents that live around the area? And then question number two is in relation to Langley Road. In your own recommendation, you sort of acknowledge that there's a high private residential development there that has therefore pushed the requirement for an upgrade, but there doesn't seem to be a mention of that there will be a commitment for an upgrade. It's just for council to continue to review the play value to monitor the further reduction over time. So what happens to Langley Road in that case?
In terms of Langley Road, from recollection, I think it was just falling outside of the requirements, essentially, in terms of a capital upgrade. Effectively, you know, what happens is each year on year, council carry out a maintenance review of each of the sites, and we've sort of acknowledged that council have progressed to play a value. Essentially, it means that at each year, as you carry out a play value assessment, council will simply keep an eye on that, and as it reduces down, it will finally fall into the category for a renewal or for an upgrade. It's really just a case of monitoring at this moment in time to see at what point that is triggered for that particular site. So, in terms of Hillfoot Junior, again, that's probably something for council, but I think the plan there was to remove the equipment to essentially create a safe space, and that space would then remain for recreational purposes and recreational use. So I think that's the plan at this point.
Thank you.
Through the chair, yes, we will be consulting with local community on all of these plans, transformation or investment. We just won't go in.
Councillor Hill.
Thank you, Chair. Just a couple of wee items I want to bring up. I'm delighted to see that Drummer Road is now getting its capital upgrade. I suppose it's something from I came on board. It was due for transformation, I think what it was, but just, you know what I mean, going to see equipment removed and stuff. So it's great to see now that will serve not just Drummer Road but Kinvarran, Seaford and some of those outlying areas. There's just one other wee item I want to bring up. I'm not sure if it sort of overlaps with your own presentation or with the next item on the agenda, but it's the play facilities within forest environments. So I know that obviously council at the minute, obviously maintainer like Atlas, Kilbrony, Steve Gullion and Tollymore are the play areas, whatever, but obviously Castlewell Forest Park, council now have taken over the management of it. I know Laura will probably know this as well from sitting on the project board. There is a play park there, but unfortunately it does not meet the needs of, you know what I mean, the visitor numbers and the requirement that would be coming through those gates. Is this something that council see as a priority? You know, I mean, personally, I think it should be. With the, you know, the renovations, the work that's being done to the Forest Park at the minute, you know, if we're looking to increase campsite, we're looking to a footfall. Just there at the weekend, there was the dinosaur event and stuff. There are families coming there, but we have a play park that's not fit for purpose, and it is something that I think that, you know, needs to be front and centre now of a project, and the play park needs to be a huge part of that.
Through the chair, I can take that one. So there is recognition that there's the destination standard play park environment. So the scope of this strategy was AHC funded and developed play parks, but I know colleagues at RT are looking at like Scabroni, Steve Gullion and Castle Well through a separate piece of work looking at what upgrades are needed, and then just similar to what we're doing here. In terms of securing the capital. Yeah, just to, I don't disagree, but it's just the scope of this is to do with the PS.
For capital, so I think it's important that we do, and if it is across the two directors, that we are working together to secure that.
Mr. Jackson?
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, thanks, Alan, for that presentation. And again, it's good to hear about the positive outcomes that we're going to be in different parts of the council areas that we're going to receive upgrades. Just on my own area for a while, DEA, again, as we mentioned, Langley Road. I know, Alan, I have been working with you closely on that during the play review process. Again, I would just reiterate, you know, I know it came close for redevelopment. It's not fit for purpose, but unfortunately it just didn't meet the threshold. So I would just encourage council in whatever way we can to keep an eye on that going forward. Again, it's down to time, and I think it's 4 years for the next better review. So I think it definitely needs looked at before that. So I just want to keep that on the radar going forward. Okay, thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Sir Andrews.
I'm on red now. Thanks very much. And first of all, thanks very much for a very comprehensive report. And I do echo some of the comments they made, especially with Councillor Jackson and Councillor Lee Surgeon in relation to the likes of, you know, a lot of the play parks that were put in Rowell. It's hard to believe where the years have gone to since these all started to come on stream. You know, it's only like yesterday. And you know, it was good to see everywhere across the council districts getting provided with play park provision. Two or three points I'd like to raise is the maintenance and upkeep, as in more or less keeping the condition sort of way, you know, up to safety standards as well, you know. And I do welcome the you know, the commitment that's given in the reports about upgrades and what works are going to be carried out. I know the Langley Road play park, it's very popular, it serves by catchment area, but in relation to that section in Ballinahinch, I actually had a constituent in touch with me today. It's in relation to further development that's going to happen around Eden Grove, Lord Moira Park, Kindale. I know there's more houses that have been approved. And what's going to happen is that it's going to tip the balance that the Langley Road is not going to cope with the extra demand that's going to come in to use that, you know what I mean? But and I do welcome in the paper tonight that in line with planning, that developments, you know, that will be envisaged, you know, further down the line, that play provision has to be part of it, you know, subject to approval, because, as I say, there's areas like the Langley Road, you know, it's very popular. There's the likes of Hillfoot, Ballinahinch, even Schwiglykill and all over, but I do think that we need to look at fixed play provision to meet development need, and that should be enhanced and enforced as well, that contractors and developers have a duty of care to install equipment as well, and for those areas of developments that are going to come in. But again, I'd like to thank you again for the report, and I welcome the recommendations, and I'm sure if there's any other questions or queries, we'll be in touch with you to raise matters further. But thank you, and thanks for letting me in, Chair.
That seems to be it. Thank you, thank you.
Moving on then to item number 5, the Play Strategy Review 2024-29, and that's over to Andy.
Thank you, Chair. So following on from that presentation from Play Board NI from Alan, the members are presented with the strategy document itself. We're seeking approval for the strategy review, and if we get approval tonight and through ratified through Council, let's say we'll be, then next stage we'll be going to Finance your capital investment. So happy to take any additional questions to if those that have just been asked. You can approve for the strategy review.
Chair McAvoy.
Yes, sorry. I'm just happy to propose the paper, so I am. Thank you.
Councillor McGuinness.
Yeah, happy to second. I'm delighted to see one of the play parks in my area, Blake, getting recommended for a capital upgrade. It took a while to get there, but definitely delighted to see it on it. And Whitecross too, getting some new inclusive fixed play equipment. So great news all around. We've been waiting a while on this paper, so it's good to see it here. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. On number 6, we have the DEA Forms Update Report. Ella.
Thanks, Chair and members of the report, just for noting and approval of the action sheet. I'm happy to take any questions.
We have a proposer and seconder.
Happy to propose.
Seconder, please.
Happy to second.
Okay, so items 7 to 10 are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1, schedule 6 of the Local Government Act Northern Ireland 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information, and the public, may by resolution be excluded during these items of business. If I could ask for a proposer and seconder to go into closed session, please.
Happy to propose. Happy to second.